Hello! Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we celebrated the Kingdom of God and look forward to the establishment of the Divine Kingdom at the return of Jesus Christ. Until Jesus returns, there is much for us to do. There is no taking a break or pulling back even just a bit. Where we find ourselves so soon after the feast reminds me of where the disciples found themselves after the death of Jesus Christ. Unlike the disciples who were with Jesus and saw the crucifixion, we have the Holy Spirit, a gift that would not be given to them until the day of Pentecost many weeks later. Having had such a tight focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness during the Feast of Tabernacles, we might find ourselves reminded that we still live on this side of eternity with all of the challenges that life can throw our way. After having given up everything to follow Jesus Christ and not yet having been given the Holy Spirit, how do the disciples feel between the crucifixion and the resurrection? From some of the accounts, we can see some had already begun to lose hope, and yet they all stuck close together. Interestingly, it wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but two women named Mary who first discovered that the tomb was empty. These are women who Jesus knew, who likely would have heard directly or indirectly all that he taught, including the timeline of being 3 days and three nights in the grave. It could have been one of the remaining disciples, or all of the remaining disciples who could have gone to the grave after 3 days and three nights to check the tomb, but it was these women named Mary. As they arrived at the tomb near sunrise, there was an earthquake, and an angel came to move the stone, and then the angel sat on the stone. The workers at the graveyard became scared and played dead. And the angel then told the women that Jesus was no longer in the grave because he was risen from the dead and would be found in Galilee. Having their faith confirmed, they left with great joy to share the news with the disciples. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As the women were en route to the disciples, Jesus stopped them and shared the same message of the angel, that the disciples could meet him in Galilee. All of this was happening as the civil and military authorities were already working damage control, and they quickly came up with a lie alleging the disciples came at night and stole the body. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The remaining 11 disciples went to the location in Galilee shared by Jesus and worshiped him, even though some doubted. He reminded them that all power had been given to him on heaven and on earth, and then told them they were going to go throughout the world teaching all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things taught by Jesus, sharing that he would never leave them. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Knowing that only God the Father can call a person, we still share the teachings of Jesus with others because we never know when God is calling a person to the faith. To be credible in sharing the faith with others who are not yet called, we have to be living the faith. The faith that we have becomes who we are. It's not like we work as an independent contractor representing a brand, and then when our contract is up, we just represent a different brand. The faith that we have is faith for life, eternal life. We do not know when Jesus Christ will return and are told that this world will also not know. For them, the end time will just be a continuation of society with no awareness of prophecy. Jesus gave an example where only half the people would be ready at his return and implied for us there is the need to maintain constant vigilance, because we do not know when Jesus Christ will return. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Whenever Jesus returns, he needs to find us so doing what is expected of us. We cannot allow ourselves to think that the return of Jesus Christ is delayed, as if that would give us an excuse to abandon what is expected of us. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, then shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What so doing looks like can vary based on our circumstances, but for all of us, will involve doing what God expects of us. In the very next chapter of Matthew, Jesus showed how the kingdom of God is compared to 10 virgins, but how only 5 of them have enough oil in their lamps. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and so it is important for us to consider that we must all have enough of the Holy Spirit to be ready for eternal life at the return of Jesus Christ. That is an individual responsibility, and there will be no borrowing of the Holy Spirit from another person. Individually, we are either ready at the return of Jesus Christ, or we are not. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus gave another comparison showing how it is individually our responsibility to grow the Holy Spirit. And like a muscle that grows through physical use, we need to spiritually exercise and use the Holy Spirit if we want to grow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something we must be using. It is not something we are given that is put on a shelf. In the parable, a landowner travels to a far country, and upon his return is pleased to find 2 of his servants have doubled what was given to them. But one of the servants only buried what he was given and did not grow it. The wealthy landowner was only pleased with the servants who doubled what was given to them and angry with the servant who did nothing productive with what was given him, having them cast out. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A third comparison was given, showing willingness to help others in need. It's easy to help others using other people's money, and it is more palatable to help others when recognition comes our way. But it is completely different when we do something for others, when we shoulder the expense without any type of recognition. Jesus taught that if we want to be in the kingdom of God, we have to be the person who is willing to help others, shouldering the expense and not expecting recognition. We must be the person who helps others who need help, expecting nothing in return. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. To be found so doing, each of us must live our life in meekness, because if we think we are something, it is then that we will likely spiritually fall. Instead of just accepting who we are spiritually, as if through some type of spiritual self-love, we must prove who we are spiritually, as if this is our burden. Once we know who we are spiritually, that is something for a quiet celebration. Proving who we are spiritually never gives us reason to look down on others, because being human, we could be tempted just as the other person may be tempted. We don't ignore those who have faults, but it is through meekness we restore these people. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Considering who we are spiritually, we know we cannot have two masters. We can only serve God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. If we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, that is the master we must serve. There will be nothing on this side of eternity that will have greater importance to us. That doesn't mean there will be nothing important to us on this side of eternity. For instance, our family needs to be very important to us. But our family is not of greater importance than seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and lose the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Paul reminded the Colossians that they should seek heavenly things instead of things on earth. Spiritual things should be close to our heart. The evil that is part of this world should have no place within us. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Instead of seeking what is ours on earth, we need to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And we do this by consciously working to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We work to become more merciful, kinder, and to live with humility and meekness. We exercise patience and self-control while being able to forgive. Love and peace are in the forefront of who we are. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We use the faith we have as a guideline for interactions with others, including those who are closest to us within our family. Because Jesus Christ paid for our sins, whatever we do, we remember that sacrifice and do what we do as if we are doing it for Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We do not abandon the commandments, knowing that Jesus taught the first great commandment in the law was to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and that the second commandment like it was to love our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When it comes to faith and what we must do, there is a comparison between form and substance. What is wanted from us is substance, where what we strive to do is just and merciful and done with humility. We can have all the elements that look religious, but what God wants from us is more than the appearance of religion. He wants us to do what is just and merciful, and for that to be done with humility. Micah 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. James reminds us we need to be more than just hearers of the word. We must become doers of the word, knowing that there is little value in hearing something of value and then ignoring it. We are also reminded that the purest form of religion is to help those who cannot help themselves, such as widows and orphans, while keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, He goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. While we must live in this world, on this side of eternity, we are not to become like this world. How we think and what we value will be different as we focus on not what is important to this world, but what is important to God. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to think of ourselves realistically, considering the spiritual gifts that God has given to each of us. Whatever spiritual gifts we have been given, we need to use these in a way that benefits others. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We need to be genuine in who we are. There can be nothing phony about us, as we hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We have to like other people, especially those of the household of faith. We cannot hold back in what is expected of us, and must not only have the Holy Spirit, but we must also be fervent in spirit, meaning all that we do is of, by, and through the Holy Spirit. We need to celebrate what should be celebrated and be able to tolerate the difficult times. For us, there is never a reason to abandon prayer. Prayer for us is not a ritual at certain times of day, but reflects how we communicate with God, and we will remain in constant communication with God. We help others, especially of the household of faith, as we are able to help, and we do not shy away from other people. We do not think more highly of ourselves compared to others, and when others treat us badly, we never seek to repay them. As much as possible, we seek to live in peace with others. When evil comes face to face with us, we overcome evil with good. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We live our life knowing that our mind must become like the mind of Jesus Christ, who personally sacrificed so others would have eternal life. We should be living our lives so that when others who are not yet called see us, they do not reject Jesus Christ because of who we are. How we live our life should reflect the sacrifice made by Jesus and lead people to see the worth in living their lives as Jesus Christ would. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Knowing Jesus Christ gave his life so we can have eternal life, we keep his commandments, including the commandment to love one another. If we hate, if we despise, if we look down upon, if we consider ourselves to be better than others, it is hard to have the love of Christ within us. We must love others as we love ourselves. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We are to be followers of God, and walk in love as Jesus Christ loved us, was willing to lay down his life so we could have eternal life. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit as the children of God, knowing that with Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs of the promises. There is no situation we might face today that compares to the glory that we will one day have in the kingdom of God to come. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The disciples were given a commission to preach the gospel to the entire world and to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That commission remains to this day. And as we live our lives, we who have the Holy Spirit must be led by the Holy Spirit. And when we live our lives being led by the Holy Spirit, it is then we are the children of God who are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the promises, and one day we will also have eternal life. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.